Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast. Interviews with candidates running for mayor, city council, and school board trustee in Hamilton, Ontario. Episode 143. Graham Noble, you are running for Hamilton or District School Board trustee in Ward 15. Welcome to the public record, the 155 Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, jumping into the basics, I'm a student who has long had a passion for all things education, whether that be through community teaching and learning in a church, in a lecture hall, or in a classroom. I've been an avid musician for more than half my life and a student in Ontario's education system for close to 90% of it. Right now, I'm studying cutting-edge approaches to educational practice and policy in my Master of Education at the University of Toronto, where I've also revised or designed and implemented entire curricula with their Center for Teaching Sport and Innovation and Discovery Initiative, respectively. But honestly, I'm just a concerned citizen who foresees the challenges that face the future of public education right now, and who's confident in their skills to bring communities together by strengthening public school infrastructure.
Why are you running for trustee?
Well, Joey, growing up, the classroom never really felt like home to me. At least, not at first. See, it wasn't until I got older, getting into my high school years, that I really found myself and established my identity through the study and performance of music. This passion of mine has followed me throughout my educational journey and continues to be a huge part of my life, from the way that I pursue my studies to songs I listen to on my daily stroll to the connections I build within my community. But I'm not running for trustee just because I love music. That would be a pretty silly reason. No, I'm running for trustee because I learned to love learning through my love for music, and the opportunities for students nowadays to explore their passions and develop their identities through them are disappearing at an alarming rate. Even during my elementary and secondary school careers, such pathways to engage with community partners to discover what lively experiences flourish outside the confines of the brick and mortar of schools were few and far between. And yet, somehow, it's only getting worse. I know this because it's still fresh in my memory. When I left high school 6 years ago, the programs that I graduated from disintegrated and consolidated, leaving a strict one-size-fits-all system in its stead. Every day, students are being stripped of more and more opportunities to experience what it means to be human, to explore their interests and futures without fear or judgment, to reach their fullest potential. I'm running for trustee because I have a drive to learn and don't pretend to know it all. Because I'm learning what it takes to change educational systems, because I want to put in the work to make it happen. I'm running for trustee because I'm done sitting on the sidelines, and I hope that many parents and residents of Ward 15 will stand with me to make our public education system safe, welcoming, impactful, and accountable in all the ways students deserve it being.
How have you contributed to your school community and education in Hamilton?
Despite being constantly in transition due to my student status, I've still found ways to engage and liaise with the diverse palette of Hamilton's learners and educators. In a direct sense, I've worked with both of Hamilton's English school boards as a member of the steering committee for the Golden Horseshoe Music Festival, an annual event that offers musical ensembles at local schools, including Waterdown District High, the chance to perform and receive coaching and critique from phenomenal Canadian composers and performers, while also affording them the chance to qualify for performances at the national level at Music Fest Canada. As far as education in the Hamilton area goes, it's a pretty big place, and there's only so much one can do to make an impact for a significant number of students. But that doesn't mean I can't make a significant impact for smaller numbers of them. For me, through my role as a music educator with the McMaster Marching Band, this meant creating avenues for students to explore performance opportunities not otherwise available to them. Like inviting young musicians from the HWDSB to take part in a holiday halftime show for the Toronto Raptors, for example. I've also partnered with Body Brave to help develop a learning series about body acceptance and appreciation for local university students, design programs for students in STEM transitioning into post-secondary studies, and several other initiatives that focus on improving the student experience across all levels of study. I'd say these are some of the most significant ways that I've contributed to education in the Hamilton community so far.
It can be argued that school board trustees merely exist to provide someone for local parents to blame for provincial decisions. The autonomy of local school boards is limited. What do you see as the role of the modern school board trustee?
I believe that trustees should not act as a pipeline between school boards and the province, nor simple scapegoats for decisions made without their input. But that does not mean that trustees are without responsibility to advocate for the needs of their constituents just because they don't make the calls themselves. Today's trustees ought to engage in interactive discussions and invite conversations with the families and neighbors that elected them to make sure our municipal, provincial, and even federal levels of government are making the right calls for the betterment of our students. That means reaching outside of our district to trustees and other school board denominations in Hamilton or elsewhere in Ontario to come together to support quality education for all. It means collaborating with organizations like People for Education and other evidence-based initiatives to discuss ways to improve education on a macroscopic scale as political actors in public education. It also means making an effort to adapt our approach to the dynamic world we live in, and always keeping an ear out for what students are saying so we can meet their needs to help them succeed. I see the role of school board trustee as someone who you can rely on to advocate for public education in their ward and their city, who shows up in their community to make sure that they always remember the people behind the numbers they see on this report or that graph. Community-driven, actively involved, and always open to learning more about how to make public schools better for those who work in, live near, and study within them. That's how I see the role of the modern school board trustee.
What are your priorities for improving public education in Hamilton?
You probably know this already, but for all our listeners out there, trustees play a highly specific role in public schools. As a collective of 11 elected representatives in Hamilton, they decide on the strategic vision of the school board, what to do with school maintenance, and whether schools continue to operate or expand, what policies are put in place, and what the allocation of provincial funding looks like on a district level, among other things. It's important to note that they have extremely little influence on the formal curriculum and how it's delivered at the classroom level. That's mostly left up to educational professionals and staff under provincial direction. So when we're talking about improving public education from a trustee angle, improving public education becomes more about strategic reallocation of resources and priorities than an increase or decrease in what's generally available to students. With that in mind, there's still much to be done and only a few years to do it, so let's get to it. We are living through a time of intense austerity for public education in Ontario. School programs and specialists are evaporating everywhere you look, with no funds left to support them and no return in sight. This means that every student in our school board is losing out big time against those in other parts of the country or in other nations of the world. I'm sure we're all pretty sick of hearing about yet another European country that's got a better education system than we do. Well, one thing that we have lots of in Hamilton that's affordable and enriching, that remains underutilized, is a vast array of community organizations just waiting to be invited through the school doors to supplement the board's available resources. While I agree that we must be rigorous in what organizations are permitted and promoted in public schools, more can be done to support and instill accountability for groups who wish to take steps to approach that process. Whether it's by expanding collaborations with the Hamilton Music Collectives and Instrument for Every Child, and local theater centers and art galleries to increase access to the arts, with the Interval House and Sasha to teach about the realities of gender-based violence and that youth aren't alone, there are countless opportunities out there that deserve more attention and whose partnerships should receive more time exploring. It's hardly a full solution, especially when many areas of the world have well-supported public schools and strong community support efforts. But our students deserve the best educations we can offer them with the conditions we have. I have several other priorities for what I intend to do as trustee, relating to trustee governance, outreach, and advocacy, but they're all easily available on my website for anyone who wants a deeper dive.
What three skills have you demonstrated that make you the best choice to be entrusted as the Ward 15 School Board Trustee?
Not only do I have a fresh and relevant perspective on the needs of students, since I still am one, as I mentioned earlier, I've also been an educator for quite some time, too, across a variety of contexts. I've been a tutor for students in translating academic English into accessible language, I've helped put on full musical productions, and I've volunteered as learning support for adults with developmental disabilities. It's really a mixed bag. But of course, I'm not just an amateur at this sort of work. I've been an educational researcher at the University of Toronto for a little over a year now, and have been studying modern approaches to educational policy, leadership, and practice, too. So I'd say that my educational experience is an asset that allows me to act as a bit of a boundary crosser, a student who knows the technical lingo in educational circles, but who's not too far removed from what students experience in a rapidly evolving world to know what's what. I'd also say that being a trustee wouldn't be the first time I was elected to run point as an elected representative who oversees educational policy, somewhat similar to Elizabeth Wong in Ward 1's current role in the McMaster Students Union. I was elected as the chief administrative officer for the union as a board member placed in charge of the policy, human resources, and overall infrastructure of the multi-million-dollar student-centered operation. Over the course of my 2 years of total involvement in the union, I led the creation, reform, or rescindment of close to 50 operating policies and organizational bylaws, which, depending on your experience with massive governance structures, may seem like nothing or a whole lot of something, though I tend to side with the latter. One of the biggest things I learned from the experience was just how little impact a policy change, like what trustees are often limited to, can have on what actually happens on the ground without the consultations and buy-in at every level, and that every significant change deserves. From this role and other similar positions since then, I've really refined what it means to bring policy from the page to life, which is critical for any trustee who hopes to make any tangible impact or change. And third, and I know this will sound pretty cliche, but I promise it isn't, is compassion. Yep, compassion is a skill, and it needs to be learned, developed, and applied on a regular basis. Before I knew I wanted to go into education, I started my studies as a student of psychology, with a focus on mental health. There, I learned a lot about what it means to be a blob of cognitive, emotional, and biological complexity. Certainly more than the average person might, but very far from all there is to know about all the aspects that make up what it means to be human. Believe it or not, I learned much of what I know about psychology years after my psych degree, as I applied what I knew to my daily life and the interactions I have with people I meet. I learned to trust what people are always trying to do, and that they're always trying to do their best with what they have. I even gleaned the mantra from Dr. Ross Green, "Kids do well if they can," a philosophy I've learned to apply more universally to "people do well if they can," which is an approach that's supported by the evidence in psychology and education both. Being equipped with the knowledge and experience to show compassion to others and even oneself is not something we are born with, but it's something that every issue and every problem deserves if you ever hope for it to get solved and stay solved.
What two policy or practice changes do you wish to achieve in your 4-year term on the board?
Since the board works as a unit under provincial law, it's a bit of a challenge to point to any specific policy reform I would make, since I'd want to continue to consult with the families and friends of my ward, as well as fellow board members, before getting anything set in stone. That said, you asked a question, so I'll do my best to answer it. There is a culture of distrust that surrounds public education in our province, and our board is no different. Parents and teachers, teachers and administration and the provincial government, and the provincial government and teachers are just a few pairings that come to mind. It's often easier to appease than argue in these sorts of cross-positional quarrels. And that behavior has gone on for long enough that we're now seeing a wave of hatred aimed at swallowing our schools that few have both the power and political will to confront. When Steve Bannon, a long ally to Donald Trump, spoke about school trustees, he said, "This is how we're going to take back the nation, village by village, school district by school district." And I'm inclined to believe that he meant it. Our students, even our educational staff and trustees, are seriously under threat here of losing parts of their identities from outside attacks, or if recent news surrounding our neighbors in Waterloo's public border are of any indication, their lives. Now, I can't believe I'm saying this, but death threats and vandalism aside, our classroom should be a place where students and educational staff feel free to exist, where differences of opinion can be settled through evidence and discussion, and where no one feels unsafe attending their own school or place of work. As trustee, I intend to support the proven excellence and achievement of the incoming Director of Education, Cheryl Petrozzini, to further support students in combating hate in our schools where it has no right to fester or hurt the children of our city. With that in mind, I think there needs to be some serious consideration of the ways in which parents and education workers interact on a regular basis. The pandemic has meant a lot of prying eyes from living rooms to classrooms during a time where teachers were essentially left to fend for themselves in a number of ways. And that definitely doesn't spell well for parent-school relations and trust in educational quality. As a board, we need to reevaluate what it means to work with parents to support students in a more holistic way, as children with multiple dimensions who often learn so many things at home that are really somewhat different than the things and ways they are taught in school, and of course, vice versa. Our children don't deserve to be torn apart, trying to code switch, or engage in any other methods of reconciling these two or more worlds they live in. For students to do their best, we need to build bridges between the unique and entangled elements of students' identities, if we're going to gain trust from families, and if we're going to create environments where all students feel they belong and can ultimately thrive.
It's 2026. The Public Record is writing a review of the 4-year council term that is just ending. What 3 words do you hope will describe your term on the board?
I'll just start by listing them off. Compassionate, there it is again, proactive, and bold. Compassionate for all the reasons I've said earlier, because everyone does well if they can, and they deserve the opportunity to do so. I want to be regarded as proactive because the pandemic has shown us just what consequences lay in wait if we are hopelessly reactive to every problem that comes our way, only despair and suffering. I don't know if you've been feeling it from your side of the table, as so many of these interviews are online, but there's an energy in the air that I haven't felt for a long time. A collective feeling of hope that faith in our democracy in Hamilton is down, but it's not out by a long shot. There are a lot of people out there already who have thanked me for running in Ward 15. But still, for them, I'm just a friendly face they saw online that they supported out of fear and desperation. I need to earn their support, not just through circumstance or the words that I say or gestures I make, but through the actions I take. That's why I say bold, because our world is changing faster than anyone can keep up with, and it won't wait for us while we dither with those who fly in the face of progress. And yes, I recognize this may sound hyperbolic, coming from someone running for a single trustee position in a public school board race. But I think we all know this is bigger than just one trustee, one school board, one province of school boards, one country of provinces, or even one continent. And we all play a part in that discourse, whether or not we choose to engage with it actively or passively.
As a school board trustee, your duty is to ensure the best quality of education for students across the entire school system. How will you manage a staff recommendation to close a school in your ward that the board's professional staff states will enable the board to provide a better quality of education across the system?
For starters, school closure should always be the last resort method of reallocating resources within the board for several reasons. HWDSB schools act as community assets that support collaboration, discourse, and local organizations, and any closure decisions should be informed by conversations held at tables surrounded by neighbors, families, and students, focusing on the impact a closure might have on the community landscape. Public school closures also represent an overall weakening of public infrastructure that's catered to the unique needs of the catchment areas they serve, where any closure ultimately contributes to the further centralization and homogenization of teaching and learning opportunities available to students. Such a decision to shut down a school should never be taken lightly or hastily. So, because these decisions are so critical for Hamilton, for Waterdown and East Flamborough, I would ask that staff provide all this information on the potential impacts of the school's closure not only now, but for the future of the surrounding neighborhoods, who is consulted and how, and what alternatives exist to keep the school open. I'd also confirm with the communities affected by the change about what their perspectives are through my own consultation. Only when all options have been considered, the provincial government bartered with, and all surplus space reimagined, could we even start to consider the possibilities for what developers might do with the land to make up for the horrible loss of a school. That said, it would be positively ludicrous for a staff member to recommend a school closure in one of the fastest growing wards in Hamilton, especially with so many calls for the construction of another elementary school in the Eastern Waterdown area due to the complete overflow of students at Mary Hopkins. With such a community that's constantly evolving, it's incredibly difficult to foresee the lasting damage of a closure in a rapidly expanding cityscape. And the potential community value lost without that consideration would be a terrible shame.
How will you inspire public confidence in trustees and the school board?
As any trustee should, by earning it. Public confidence in political representatives across the globe is in the tank, and often for good reasons. That's why I'm bringing things back to the basics. Plenty of folks have already seen me out knocking doors, chatting with teachers and families, volunteering with local community events, and making it clear to residents that I'm not just a smiling face on a screen or a voice on a podcast, but an active community member who cares about our public institutions, who will listen to and validate people's concerns, and rise to the plate where and when I am needed to support youth in finding their ways as lifelong learners. I also see a significant need for reform in the way the school board communicates with its constituents. Gone are the days where hundreds of pages of reports are considered an acceptable form of communication with the public. We know better now, and we ought to do better. As an organization, transparent governance isn't something you do, it's something you are, something you embody. I will work to provide spaces for the children of Waterdown and East Flamborough to celebrate their similarities and differences and grow as people united. Yet right now, we're continuing to witness the unraveling of school-parent relationships due to provincial legislation, global workforce patterns, and growing hatred bubbling in from the south of the border as acting as a force of division between public institutions and the people they seek to serve. I see all these issues as areas where trustees have a duty to contribute in whatever way they can to earning the title of trustee by their active presence in the community, bold advocacy for the people they represent, and by constantly reinforcing the activities that bring us together in support of a quality education for all.
Thank you. That's the end of the prepared questions you were sent in advance. How can people learn more about your platform and connect with you?
Totally. You can find me on Facebook at Noble Trustee, on Twitter with the handle @TheNobleEducator, with the letters ATO, replaced with an 8, or links to all my socials, comms, and our vision at nobletrustee.ca. Thanks, Joey, for having me on, and you've been a fantastic host. I really appreciate the chat.
This has been episode 143 of the Public Records, the 155 podcast. Thank you to the Hamilton Public Library for the use of their makerspaces to record these podcasts. Thank you to the readers and listeners of the Public Record for your support. You can visit thepublicrecord.ca to get more City Hall coverage, sign up for my City Hall newsletter, and become a member of the Press Club to keep me covering Hamilton City Hall. Thank you.